Looking back, but also the thing about the Gospel of John is he explains not just what Jesus said and what happened, but what it means for us. And the passage contains this the best known verse in all the Bible, which is, sorry, that's right, it's John 3:16. If you ever want to crack anybody, another Christian's, you want to get into their computer, their password is probably going to be John 3:16. So it is the best known verse. And why? Because it encapsulates the good news of Jesus. What is this? Why are we here on a Sunday? Why is Jesus so significant? What's it all mean? And it's all summarized in this one verse, John 3:16. For God, it's gone dark. For God so loved the world, God so loved the world. So love, not rules, love. Not rules, what?
Love.
He loved the world. So that God's mighty action in Jesus to reach out to us is born of love. And if you ever doubt how much you are loved by God, remember that he chose to enter human space to die for us, to be with us, to be for us. It says in Scripture that he sings over us. He delights in our presence. He loves you. Never doubt it. God so loved the world. I mean, he got three words in. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son. Not negotiated, not sold, not did a Trump and did a deal, or we'll drop missiles on your head. He gave. Gave. He gave his only son. God gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him, doesn't mean that we all go to heaven. It means that those who choose to follow Jesus, who say yes to Jesus. And maybe if you haven't yet said yes to Jesus, really said yes to saying, I trust you, I follow you, you are the one who doesn't change. I put my life and all that I am at your disposal to use in the way that you intend, because you made me and you have a purpose for me. If you haven't said that to Jesus yet, I'd love to perhaps at the end of this four-hour sermon actually give you the chance to say that yes. So that everyone who believes in him may not perish. We don't know what it is like to spend eternity apart from Jesus, but Jesus warns against that very strongly. May not perish, but have eternal life. And eternal life means what it says. It means life for all eternity. It also means life in the eternal one, life in the power of God, life which can start now when we receive the power of God into our lives. So isn't that just amazing? So God so loved the world, so it's an action for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that's Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have instead eternal life. And it's not something that we earn, it's something that is given to us. It is a wonderful gift. We call it grace. This wonderful gift of God, of himself in Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is to accept it. And it is when we accept Jesus, it's when we discover how much he loves us, how much we can trust him. And as we grow in faith, as we grow in our experience of him, then we do lots of things, like, we want to do his will. We know that his ways are best. We want to pour out all that we are and all that we have. We want to give of our money and our time for all these things. Not because it's a way of earning our way into heaven, but because our heart is changed. And suddenly the world looks different. And how is our heart changed? How do we change? We change through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the other great theme in this passage, isn't it? The work of the Holy Spirit. And this Nicodemus chap, trying to get his brain round it all, but he basically, first of all, Jesus says to him, you know, you must be born again. Now, who wants to be a born again Christian? Or does that sound a bit scary? Does it sound like a bit American? Does it sound a bit over the top? What it means is that actually when Jesus comes into our lives, it isn't like we suddenly go, right, there's a bunch of rules here. I can't do this, can't do that, can't do that. And I've got to be very hardworking and follow those rules. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is a beautiful relationship with the risen Lord in the power of his Holy Spirit. It's a relationship, it's a gift, and with that gift comes the power to follow Jesus. We have a God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world to show us the face of the Father and to enable us to develop that direct relationship with him, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes people go, oh, the Holy Spirit. David's from Howell Hill. James, your new vicar, is going to be from Howell Hill. They're into the Holy Spirit there. Well, the Holy Spirit, one of the three persons of God, was there from all eternity. He isn't a new discovery. It says at the very start of the Bible in Genesis that the Spirit was moving on the face of the water. The Spirit creates. Jesus received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, when he was baptized. Even though he is God, he didn't start his earthly ministry until he received that gift of the Spirit. He was baptized, and do you remember the Spirit came down like a dove? I love this picture of the Spirit as a dove. A dove, like any bird, flies away. The moment we get nasty or selfish or whatever, the Spirit's gone. But where our hearts are pure and we welcome him, the Spirit comes. And Jesus waited for the Spirit until he started his ministry. And when he went to be in heaven, he said to his disciples, who were all set to go out, he said, wait. Wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be your helper. He will give you power. Power to live this amazing life. Power to do and to say the most amazing things. He will give you the supernatural gifts, which Jesus himself exercised. And they waited. And then when Pentecost came, Pentecost was a Jewish festival, but they were hiding in this upper room. And suddenly, the Spirit of God fell upon them with enormous power. Sound like a mighty wind. Tongues of flame descending. And they were speaking in all these different languages, which everybody recognized. The power of God falling upon us. And actually, although there are different styles, there are only two main beliefs within the church. One is what they call cessationist. In other words, oh, well, amazing stuff happened, but it only happened in the first century, and it's all stopped now. Anyone believe that? Good. But 90% of the church, 95% of the church, takes the view that we take, and I think that this church takes, which is what you call the continuationist view, in that the Spirit continues to work. The power which raised Jesus from the dead can live in us when we receive the Holy Spirit. And, Anglo-Catholic churches have wonderful healing services. We have services where we listen to the Holy Spirit. In our services, sometimes we'll stop the service and we'll say, has anybody heard something they want to share? Has somebody got a wonderful answer to prayer? Or they've seen God at work in some way, and we encourage each other's faith. The Holy Spirit blows like the wind, is always doing a new thing, is always creating a new thing in us. The Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit enables us not to be just a bunch of people in the same building on a Sunday morning, but enables us to be the body of Christ. It draws us together. He draws us together. He's a person. He draws us together into one body so that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a mystical, it is a beautiful thing that we are brought together. The Holy Spirit enables us gradually. We're saved the moment we say yes to Jesus. But the Holy Spirit works in us throughout our lives to make us more and more like Jesus, to make us the kind of people that we were really created to be. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives, like goodness and faithfulness and love and joy, character, traits which are beautiful and different from the world. The Holy Spirit brings gifts of healing, supernatural healing, gifts of prophecy, that we may hear the word of God, pictures and words for each other. The Holy Spirit enables words that were written 2,000 years ago, or maybe 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, to come to life and to speak into our lives with extraordinary power. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit enables us to encounter Jesus. The Holy Spirit baptizes us afresh. And in fact, St. Paul said in Ephesians, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about being born again. We don't just go from being a bit better behaved. What happens is when we say yes to Jesus, when we receive his Spirit, then we move from a state of death where we will, die and disappear. We move from that state into a state of life, real spiritual life, which lasts for all eternity. And it is that Holy Spirit, which enables us to encounter and to know for real and to experience the love of God. So shall we take a moment now to give perhaps those who haven't really said yes to Jesus, haven't really put our trust in Jesus, to do that. And also to enable the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. And when I talk about faith, you can say, I know all the stuff. I believe that chair is beautifully made, and that it has probably borne the weight of people much heavier than me, because I'm not very big, over the years, and that it would therefore bear my weight. That's all belief. This is faith. It is choosing to put the weight, to put our lives, to trust our lives to Jesus. It's actually acting upon those promises by putting our weight, all that we are, all that we have, all our trust in Jesus Christ. So we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to fall now, and to give us the chance to be filled afresh and to turn to him. First, so come Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Come Holy Spirit, fall in this place, I pray. Fall in power. And when the Spirit comes, we feel a sense of peace. Sometimes you may feel warmth or see light. Normally just that sense of peace, that deep awareness of God's love. More of you, Lord, in this place. And Lord, I want to pray first for those who've yet to really put their weight in Jesus, yet to really trust him. And I'm going to invite, I'm going to say a little prayer and just go along with it in your hearts. Lord, we turn to you. Forgive us for the things that we've done wrong in the past. Thank you that we can be forgiven. Give us the strength, Lord, to turn away from those things. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Come into our lives now. As our Saviour, as our friend, as our Lord, we choose to trust you, to put our weight and everything that we have in you, and to follow you wherever you lead. Amen. And Lord, now I pray for more of your Spirit. Thank you that we are born again into this new life. I pray, Lord, for joy, for the fruit of the Spirit, for joy, for peace, that peace which passes all understanding. For us to so be filled with your love that we may pour out our love over all those that we encounter and share your love. We pray that you will enter us afresh, that we may know Jesus, and feel Jesus in our lives. We pray that you'll give us a love of Scripture, that the Bible will come to life as we read its words. We pray for a profound and deep fellowship in this place, love which binds us together. Called as we are to live and even to die for each other. We pray that this community of St. Mark's may become a little piece of heaven in which your Spirit is palpable. And we pray for the release of your gifts, for words and pictures and prophecies, that we may know your mind. We pray for the gifts of healing, that we may do your work. We pray even for the release of the gift of tongues, that we, for those who wish, may have a heavenly language to talk to you and to unburden our hearts. We pray that we may see in this place signs and wonders of your coming kingdom, miracles in your name. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And if you took that step, perhaps properly for the first time, a great cheer will have gone up in heaven, because things have changed forever. And if you made, like me, those promises many times, remember Jesus says, be continually filled with the Spirit. Each time we're refreshed, each time we're empowered. But this is real, and this is awesome. We now move. One of the gifts is prayer. When we pray, we don't speak to some distant God. Can you hear us? We speak to a God who is within, who is for us, who is with us, who loves us. And in that spirit, remember, it says in Paul says, bring everything to God by prayer and petition. He wants us to know. He wants us to know what's on our hearts, and he wants to bless us. Whether it is a lost partner or lost car keys, he really cares. So Helen, will you come and lead us in our prayers?